So hello and welcome everyone. This is Blaine Barton and this is the meetup for the Florida IT professionals, and we have a special guest today. We have Stephen from Chef and integration with Azure. So thank you very much for being on the meetup today, and so with that, I'm going to turn it over to Stephen, and thanks for being our guest. Go ahead, take it away.
Thanks for having me, Blaine. Appreciate it. Love getting out and getting a chance to talk about Chef and Azure and Microsoft and Windows and configuration management and all this fun stuff. So, in the interest of time, I ran this command before we started because it can take 15 minutes or so to get a machine spun up in Azure. And so the command that I ran to spin up a knife, I use Knife Azure. After I was bad mouthing Knife, I went and used that for my demo because it's effective. And so Knife Azure, and it allows me to specify the Knife Azure is using the old service management APIs. And so I create a cloud service, create a machine, and get that assigned to it. And created for me was. No, it's this machine here. So I've got a machine running and it's bootstrapped and connected to my Chef server. And I can validate that. I can show you the Chef node that's been registered, Azure demo, SJM, checked in earlier when I spun it up. And I have a policy assigned to it. And all that policy is when it runs, it just says a log message to the thing. We'll actually change this to make it actually do something to the node. And I'm gonna illustrate how we actually can change this policy, validate the policy changed that we expected, and then deploy that into the production. And this is my node that I spun up being my production node. This Azure demo SJM production node.
So as we walk through the components here, we're looking at, of course, Visual Studio Code you're using, probably Git you're using that, Chef managed. So can you talk through just like the main components here that you're integrating with?
Yep, you bet. So right now we're looking at the Chef Manage dashboard. What Chef Manage, Chef, the Manage dashboard is one of the premium features. There's a series of features, analytics and reporting. There's manage compliance, some other stuff that's kind of all rolled up into our kind of our commercial offering, but is actually available for if you have 25 nodes or less. For free, so that's great for kind of trialing things out and doing a demo, that kind of thing. Chef Server itself is open source and free to use for as many nodes as you want. It's if you want the managed UI and everything else that money kind of comes into play. I'm using our hosted offering, and what the managed dashboard allows you to do is kind of in a visual way, kind of drill into individual nodes. You can do some stuff like assigning policy and changing environment that a machine is in and that kind of thing. But while you can do it and it's okay for like training purposes and playing around, I wouldn't ever manage a production environment by changing things in the manage UI. That should all go through some kind of orchestration process. No matter what size environment you're in, because you want those changes to be audited and tracked. One of the interesting things you can do is to browse the inventory data. So I mentioned as part of the Chef run, it actually inventories a bunch of information about the machine, and that all gets indexed and is available to actually look through on the Chef server. You can also search it from the command line, but like it'll tell me that hey, this machine has two CPUs, that they're AMD. CPUs and it shows that there's two, but there's only one real, so it's hyper-threading on that, or it's two cores on one proc. It'll have information about the server. It's Microsoft Server 2012 R2, All sorts of stuff you can drill into. There's an insane amount of information that's cataloged. All of that information that's cataloged is available to be used inside of your policy. So you can say, hey, if this is a machine that tells me it's on Azure, because, hey, guess what? There's information about Azure that's indexed, public IP that's there, the VM name, the qualified name, any the WinRM port that's exposed, if that's exposed. I can actually use that information inside my recipes. Oh, hey, by the way, I see information about Azure, so I want to make sure I do. I want to make sure I do a certain thing because I'm in Azure versus if I was running in AWS or in my data center, something like that. Okay. So that's a little bit about the Manage UI. There's a lot of other things you can do inside the Manage UI. For me, it's really just a visualization tool. And then the other thing we were looking at in the browser was the Azure portal. And if you haven't played around in the Azure portal at all, there's a number of avenues to get some free credits to play around. It's definitely worth poking around, even if you're not doing any Azure stuff in your environment, because it's a great place to trial things out, do a little test. There's a bunch of marketplace images to spin things up, and for very low cost, you can actually pretty advanced stuff. So it's definitely worth checking out, especially if you want to try out some of the Chef and Azure stuff. So here we are in Visual Studio Code. And so as I'm looking at it, the left-hand side of the screen, there's a little browser, a file browser shows me what folders and files are and where I'm working. And right now I'm in a cookbook, which has a couple of folders. There's a bunch of files in there. And the important ones for us right now is the recipes. That's the policy that's going to get applied to a node. We're going to look at a couple of these other files in just a second, but looking at the default recipe, and that's just a convention. When you there's some tools in the Chef Development Kit, which is a package of all of our kind of best of breed development tools that you're going to use if you want to do Chef work. You're going to install Chef DK, and that's going to get you tools for testing and validating and doing some workflow stuff along with Chef to help make your command line environment more effective for doing Chef. We are a very command line and text editor heavy kind of ecosystem. CUI polish around delivery and compliance and manage and that kind of thing. Bulk of the work that's going to happen is from the command line and from your text editor. And what that really lends itself well to is the ability to version, control, and script and orchestrate all of these tasks. So, that becomes very powerful for maintaining and evolving these things over time. I have on line 7 a statement. This is log and a little string hi from Chef. Log is one of the inboxed resources that ships with Chef Client and allows us to add logging messages to our. I'm going to add another resource here, and that's going to be the directory resource. And you might see a little bit of IntelliSense or a little helper coming up here. And there's actually a Chef extension for Visual Studio Code that knows all of the inbox resources and can kind of help get you started with some syntax checking and things for you. So if you're using Visual Studio Code, which is definitely worth checking out, the Chef extension is an awesome plugin. And there's also a PowerShell extension for checking and validating and working with your PowerShell scripts. So I just hit tab as I started typing directory, and it kind of scaffolded out for me what one of these resources might look like. In the Chef ecosystem, we come from a real Unix-heavy background, so stuff starts kind of in that vein. And the domain-specific language for building Chef recipes is built on top of Ruby. The PowerShell desired state configuration at all? PowerShell desired state configuration is a domain-specific language, a DSL, that's layered on top of PowerShell. So you have the PowerShell language semantics and capabilities inside of desired state configuration. Just like in Chef, you have all of the Ruby constructs, the domain-specific language parts that are part of Chef. So we're going to create a folder. We'll do C in Chef, if I can spell it properly. Make a folder, see can Chef do this. And I'm going to get rid of this owner and group stuff and mode stuff because so well on the Windows side of things. We do actually have a number of Windows file system specific management capabilities inside the directory resource and the file resource and all of the different file system based things. There's really good documentation on the Chef site about them, but they just kind of complicate the thing. I'm just going to a couple of points here. So you see this do and end. If this was a PowerShell desired state configuration resource, we'd see something like, actually it's the file resource in desired state configuration. So file, and have a curly brace, and then I'd have destination path, blah, and I'd have other stuff, right? So In a Chef recipe, the do and end are basically like what the curly braces do in a DSC resource. They just indicate that, hey, inside of this do and end, there's going to be some things that modify the behavior of this particular resource. And specify is action create. And so I'm going to say, I want to make sure that this folder exists. You know, nothing earth shattering or dramatic about that, but shows us that we can actually go do something. I made this change, and this is just one little change. It seems relatively benign. And then I'm working on this in conjunction with a number of other policies that impact the system, or maybe I'm revving a product version or something like that. Not just adding a directory, or maybe I'm changing permissions on something. And so I want to test my changes. And I want to test them on an actual system before I actually commit my changes to source control and before I actually push it out into production. So that's where the test kitchen tool comes in. And so inside my cookbook, I have this kitchen YAML file. And the kitchen YAML is basically just a way for me to declare what bits I want to wire up for my test kitchen run. Ever, in this case it's Azure Release Management, I'll supply it my Azure subscription ID. I'm going to spin up the machine in central US because that's where I am. A standard D1 machine. It's a Windows box, so I want to make sure I'm using the WinRM transport. And specify the image URN. So the release management APIs have a way that they describe their images. And I can use latest to always make sure I have the most up-to-date image that I'm going to work off of. And then I tell it what I actually want to run. So my cookbook name is Azure Demo. I want it to run the default recipe. So pretty straightforward as far as the information that's in this document. Where this tool really starts to become powerful is when I want to test it across a number of different platforms. So I can expand this test matrix by providing another platform. We're not going to go and do this. I'm just going to show you what it looks like here. But maybe I want to test this across 11 as well. So across the same operating system. So I can actually provide some additional information. And just by providing a little bit of additional information here about the provisioner for that particular image, instead of just having the one node, it's going to run this one suite of tests across the two different types of nodes. And maybe instead of changing the Chef version, I'm running a different operating system version. Maybe I'm going to run it against Server 2016 so I can see how future-proofed my recipe is. And it becomes a lot easier then to run this validation against a couple of different platforms, different options. If I'm testing DSC-related stuff, maybe I'm going to test against WMF4 and WMF5 and see how my resource behaves in each of those things. So Test Kitchen becomes a very handy tool there. And so we're going to I'd also pre-spun up the node for this test. And let's see. So use the test kitchen command. It's called kitchen. And on the list, show you the test suites that we're going to run. Maybe one, because I only have one platform and one suite. And so that comes out and it says, oh, hey, by the way, I've already run this. It's been converged. But I've made a change to my recipe. I've added that directory thing. So I'm going to run this, and that's going to be kitchen converged. So it's going to take the changes that I made to my recipe, ship them over WinRM to the target node, to this test system that I have running in Azure. It's going to run Chef and apply the policy. And because we're running in WinRM, I actually have it running in a scheduled task so that it gets around some of the WinRM credential issues. So it'll stream the output back into our WinRM session. It is that it'll go and apply the change. We can verify it either manually by running some commands against it or going and taking a look at the machine. Or we can actually include some automated tests, whether they're PESTR tests or InSpec or this is always fun. I've noticed that like the first converge, it should copy over and create all the files it needs since they're not there. Now it's copying files over to the remote node. And WinRM isn't the greatest for file transfer, but we've hacked together some stuff to make it work as quickly as we possibly can. And now it's starting up the scheduled task to run Chef. And the Chef client is starting, and fingers crossed. Okay, Chef's starting to run. Gives us a little banner saying what version of the Chef client is running. And by the way, if you are running Chef, have a bug report and you want to file it on GitHub, include the version number that's running because there's a lot of versions and that helps us troubleshoot and test. It's printed at the top of every single of the logs of every single run. Easily grab that and, oh, there we go. All right. So we had a bunch of information saying, hey, things are happening. And right above us here, we have a recipe that's going to run. It says, hey, from Chef. Then we have, hey, let's create this directory. Okay. Process in the directory and created it. I can either do PowerShell remoting or Kitchen has a handy Kitchen exec where it'll actually go out and run a command for me I'm going to just do DIRC. Give it an instance to run it against. And if you have a suite of tests going to run, then it's very, very handy in Kitchen. It'll actually work, can work against regexes of, so you can do subgroups of things. Just name consistently. Our chef can do this, which is the folder that I wanted to create. Have our test file.txt, and if we look at what's in test file.txt, stated that it does what we expect it to do. I could also have written a script to automate this and go check, a lot less visual. So our config management does what we expect it to do, and so now I'm happy with my cookbook, and I can upload it to my chef server, and so that it can get into production. So I will do that with my knife command. I'm in what's called the chef repo. And the chef repo is a folder structure as a cookbooks directory. And there's some other stuff in there too. The thing that we really care about is our cookbooks directory. And that's how chef knows kind of where to upload a cookbook from. Now, this is like a way abbreviated version. We actually have some fundamentals training where we go a lot to this. We also have some online walkthroughs. In the slide deck, actually, there's a couple of resources linked up where you can actually go through some walkthroughs with either Red Hat Linux, Windows, or Ubuntu, and manage some of those nodes and go through a couple of scenarios to kind of get your hands on these tools. And so this is just kind of an abbreviated look. And Azure Demo. That's going to send it off to my chef server and update the policy that's available there. I have a command I can use to run and connect to my public, my Azure node, that's my production node. And so I'm production node to tell it, hey, go run chef. And that process will see pretty much what we just saw happening in Test Kitchen that we've been able to validate in our local development. And I say local kind of quote unquote, because it was actually happening in Azure. But I could have just as easily been testing against a Hyper-V image locally or an internal vSphere cluster or something like that. You see in our node on production node that's at Azure Demo SJM cloudapp.net BSC, and it didn't like something with how the LCM was set up there or WinRM not being set up properly. So I can go now I have an error that I can go troubleshoot, and I have something that told me that, hey, guess what, my production doesn't look like my test environment. And that totally makes sense because I launched this image out of with the old service management APIs, and the other one was the Azure Resource Management APIs, and they don't take the same image indicator. So there's very likely different machine images. Anyway, that is a kind of quick little show of an abbreviated cycle leveraging Azure would look like.